Going to read God's word as we find it in Mark's Gospel, chapter 8. Gospel of Mark, the 8th chapter. Reading at verse 27. And Jesus went out and his disciples into the towns of Caesarea Philippi. And by the way, he asked his disciples, saying unto them, Whom do men say that I am? And they answered, John the Baptist, but some say Elias, and others one of the prophets. And he saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Peter answereth and saith unto him, Thou art the Christ. And he charged them that they should tell no man of him. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected of the elders, and of the chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he spake that saying openly. And Peter took him and began to rebuke him. But when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savourest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. And when he had called the people unto him, with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Amen. May the Lord bless his word. Let's bow together just for a moment in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we give thanks for this meeting, for the privilege of being here. We thank thee for the testimony, the grace of God that has triumphed in the life of our sister. We thank thee for grace that not only saves, but keeps us and brings us through even the most dark times of our pilgrimage. We thank thee too for the messages that we've listened to on the piano tonight. We thank thee for the wonderful Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. We've thought of him even as we listen to the music. And we thank thee for the other piece that reminded us that it can be well with our souls. O God, as we come to thy word for this little time, we pray thy blessing upon the preaching. We thank thee that it is through preaching that God has ordained to save them that believe. And we pray that thou wilt use thy word tonight to the saving of the lost in this meeting. We cast ourselves upon thy mercy now. Give help in the proclamation of divine truth, in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to look at the two questions asked by the Saviour in verses 36 and 37 of this passage of Mark 9. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? There's no doubt tonight that it costs a man to go to heaven. There's things that need to be given up. If we are to be saved, if we are ever to come to really know the Lord and set out on that journey that leads to heaven and home, there are things that we need to bid farewell to forevermore. The Lord Jesus said in this passage of Scripture in verse 34, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. There is a cross to bear. The road to heaven is often filled with trouble, pain, suffering, and conflict. There's an old saying that tells us, no cross, no crown. And so it costs a man to go to heaven. The Lord Jesus related the story in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 14, of those who counted the cost. Let me read the appropriate verses to you. It's verse 27 to 33. Jesus said, "Whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." And then he brings two illustrations to our attention. "For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it, lest haply after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple." When a man contemplates his need of salvation, the necessity of being right with God, the urgency of getting to Christ, he counts the cost. He ought to sit down and understand what it means to be a Christian, what it means to give up all for the sake of Christ. What will it cost me to be saved? And so I'm saying to you tonight, it costs a man to go to heaven. But my friends, I also want to say, it costs a man to go to hell. You know, the fact is that the cost is greater. There's no loss like the loss of a soul. To die without Christ, to die without pardon, without forgiveness, without mercy, without grace. It means to be thrust down into the caverns of the damned forevermore. And the Lord Jesus asks these two questions in our text. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Questions that are solemn and weighty. And the great inquiry is this: what are you selling your soul for? A man, when considering eternal matters, his need of redemption to escape hell, the desire for sins forgiven, his aspiration for heaven, if he rejects the offer of grace through Jesus Christ and the salvation that is found in him alone, in reality, he is putting a price on that rejection. He's putting a value on his soul. And he is, in actual fact, saying, "I'm prepared to go to hell for whatever it is." And that's the value that he puts upon his soul. That's the price. I want to talk tonight about the value of your soul. And I want you to ask yourself the question, what am I selling my soul for? And as we approach this subject and what the Lord Jesus is teaching here, I want you to see, first of all, that there is the undeniable possession. That possession that you, my friend, have tonight, and that I have, and it is the soul. Man is composed of two distinct parts. There's a physical side and there is a spiritual side. The physical side being these bodies of ours, these tabernacles or tents that God has given to us to live in this life. But they only house the real man, which is the spiritual man, the soul or the spirit. I'm not going into the details of theology tonight, whether the soul and the spirit are the same thing or separate entities. I personally am a trichotomist. I believe in the body, the soul and the spirit. I believe that man is made up of three parts. But what I'm saying is this: there's a physical side and there's a spiritual side. And the spiritual side is to do with your soul. In your possession tonight is a real, living, immortal soul. A soul that will live on through the countless ages of eternity. And your body is but the house that has been provided by God to keep your soul while you're here upon the earth. But the soul is the real person. It is the soul that thinks and feels and reasons and decides. All men are aware of a spiritual existence. They have a knowledge that there's more to them than just the body. It is in the soul's intellect that man has a desire to worship that spiritual aspect of our being. Right throughout the earth, in every country, in every land, among every nation, tribe and people, there is this desire to worship. Even where the true God is not known, or where the name of Jesus Christ has never been proclaimed. Yet because of the spiritual side of man, the soul that man has, he has a desire to worship. And the world is filled with religion. It is filled with cults. It is filled with a desire in the heart of man to worship something, some superior creator. Why? Because there is this spiritual side to man. And your never-dying soul is the most precious possession that you have. You have nothing. Nothing in this life that is more precious. It is a pearl above price. It is a jewel that is set in the midst of clay. And nothing is more important than the destiny of your soul. Where your soul is going in eternity. As a child, we used to sing a chorus, and I know that it is still sung today in children's meetings. I have a soul to be saved. May this truth be engraved on my mind and my heart while I'm young. Oh, how awful the cost if my soul should be lost, and in hell if I die as I am. Your soul warrants the most careful, diligent consideration and attention that you could possibly give. For it's the most important possession that you have. It is an important possession because of its origination. It came from God. God has given to you your soul. It is important because of its duration. Your soul will live on through eternity. After death, for the millions, the billions, and the countless years of eternity, your soul is going to endure forever. And it is also important because of the valuation. How valuable this precious immortal soul is. But then secondly, in verse 36, as you read this question, there is the unfathomable loss. Jesus asks, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? There is such a thing as losing your soul. Man can lose a lot of things in this world. But the greatest loss is the loss of his soul forever. You can lose your health. And that would be an awful loss. You remember Job the patriarch and all that he endured. Not only the losses that you read about in the opening chapter, but the subsequent loss of his health when his body from top to bottom was covered in sore boils, and Job was reduced to a state of pathetic misery. And when his friends came to sympathize with him, they didn't even recognize him. Such was his physical condition. Job had lost his health. And we know of those who have lost their health, and it's an awful loss, but nothing compared to the loss of the soul. And you can lose your job, and it's an awful thing when you lose your job. Or you could lose your possessions. You could lose your sanity. You could lose your reputation. You could lose your friends, your loved ones. And we've heard tonight in the testimony of a precious little one that was taken from this family. And it's an awful thing to lose our children. You could lose your life. These, my friends, are great losses. But the truth of the matter is, These are virtually nothing in comparison to the loss of your soul. What must it be to lose your soul forever? Nothing can compare to it. It is the loss of losses. It is the death of deaths. It is a catastrophe unequaled in extent and unparalleled in its amount throughout all the universe of God. Men don't seem to realize the value of their souls, for they are prepared to lose their soul for eternity, just like the rich man that you read about in Luke 16. He lost his soul, for after death he was in hell, and he lifted up his eyes in torments. A soul dying without the mercy of God, having lived for the world, for self, for the flesh, for the devil, is described by the Lord Jesus as a loss. It means falling headlong into destruction. It means being damned forever. It means being imprisoned in the caverns of the lost. And we can't fully imagine what that must be. Listen, a time is approaching when we shall no longer see through blinded eyes. And we're blinded by the glamour of this world. The day is coming when every man and woman will have the scales taken from their eyes, and they will be face to face with death, face to face with God, face to face with eternity. And you will begin to see as God sees. And if you die without the Lord, you will say, "What a fool I was to forfeit my immortal soul for that which has no real profit." And then you will face a lost eternity forevermore. We can't begin to fathom such a loss. Take a trip to the place of unending torment. See for yourself the misery and the agony of wretched souls languishing in the flames of hell. Hear them cry out, calling for mercy, but there's no mercy. Calling as the rich man did for a drop of water, but there's no water. What would they say to you? What advice would they give to you? I tell you, they would say, "Flee from this wrath to come. Get right with God. Make sure that your soul is saved." The unfathomable loss. You can lose your soul. And then thirdly tonight, there's the unprofitable exchange. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? I have a soul for sale tonight. What price would you place upon it? What would you give in exchange for this soul? What estimate would you put upon it? How valuable is this soul? £1,000? £10,000? £100,000? £1,000,000? £1,000,000,000? Is that the value? Esau put a value on his soul. What was it? We read about it in Hebrews chapter 12 and verses 16 and 17. The warning is given, "Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears." One morsel of meat. That was the value that Esau put upon his soul. Judas Iscariot put a value on his soul. You read about it in Matthew 26. One of the 12, verse 14, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests and said unto them, "What will ye give me, and I will deliver him unto you?" And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time he sought opportunity to betray him. 30 pieces of silver. It was the price of a slave. That's the value that Judas Iscariot placed upon his soul. Satan puts a price on your soul. It's the whole world. As much of this world as he can offer you. What value do you place upon your soul tonight? What will you give in exchange for your soul? Is it pleasure? Oh, it is for some. Are you exchanging your soul for some worldly, lustful, carnal pleasure? How foolish. Earth's pleasures are but for a season, and then eternity. They're gone and gone forever. Maybe it's a person. Is it some wrong and lustful relationship that means more to you than the Lord Jesus and the salvation of your soul tonight? I tell you, it's not worth it. Is it popularity? You feel that if you come to Jesus Christ and are saved, that you might lose the popularity of your friends. Things wouldn't be the same again. You wouldn't be able to go to the same places with them, and the relationship wouldn't be the same. Or maybe it's pounds. It's the riches of this world. Monetary gain. How worthless is your wealth when it comes to your soul and eternity? What are you exchanging your soul for tonight? What price are you putting upon it? But before I finish, let me tell you, God has put a price upon your soul. What is it? More than tongue can tell. You could take all the money out of the world's banks, extract all the gold out of the veins of the earth and the great fortifications of the world. You can take all the precious stones and the jewels and the silver, gather it up, pile it up, all the pleasures of this life in one place, and listen, it wouldn't compare to the price that God has placed upon your soul. God counts your soul so valuable that he sent his Son, his only Son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ left the splendor of heaven, and he came into this world to be the Savior. He came to die upon the cross. He came to shed his precious blood that we might be saved. He paid the greatest price that could ever be paid. The richest blood that was ever shed. The deepest groan that was ever uttered. All the sorrows and the griefs of earth compressed into one tear. All the sufferings of his people gathered into one rapier of pain and agony. Paid the price for my soul and for yours. Come with me. Visit Calvary, where our Redeemer died. Oh, we can thank God that there is a fountain. 'Tis full, 'tis deep, 'tis wide. What price do you put upon your soul? How much is it worth? What are you prepared to sell your soul for? The story is told of a very famous preacher, Roland Hill, who one day was preaching in an open-air service. There was a lady from the aristocracy passing by in her carriage, Lady Anne Erskine. And she wondered what the great crowd was and who it was that was preaching, drawing such a crowd. And she asked the coachman to stop. And she stopped and got out of her carriage. And Roland Hill, noticing this lady from the high class of society standing on the fringes of the meeting, he stopped the meeting. And he said, "I've got something for sale." "Something for sale? Yes, I've got something for sale. It is the soul of Lady Anne Erskine. Do I hear any bid for her soul?" And then he says, "Yes, I hear Satan bids. What will you give her?" "Oh, I will give her the world. I will give her pleasure. I will give her riches. Do I hear anyone else bid for her soul?" "Yes, Jesus bids. And what will you give her?" "I will give her salvation and everlasting life in heaven." And then addressing himself to Lady Anne Erskine, he said, "You have heard the bids. Which will you have?" And that lady from the high class of society got down on her knees and she says, "I will have Jesus." And there and then she accepted Jesus Christ as her personal Savior. Man, woman, young person in this meeting tonight, there are, as it were, two bidding for your soul, Satan and Jesus. And Satan says to you, "I will give you the world. I will give you the pleasures of this life. I will give you all that this earth has to afford. Come my way. But the Lord Jesus, he says, I will give you life. I will give you abundant life. I will give you eternal life. I will give you a home in heaven. Tell me, to whom will you listen? How will you decide in this meeting? Oh, the value of your soul. That soul needs to be saved. And I wonder tonight, is it? Can you say tonight, yes, preacher, I'm saved by God's grace. I remember the day when I came. Or maybe on the other hand, you have to be honest in your heart and say, no, I'm still out of Christ without a Savior. And my soul is destined to a lost eternity. But you know, as the word of God has been preached and the challenge of these verses of Scripture have been brought to my attention, I know that I need to be saved. Will you come and put your faith and trust in Christ?